All right, so this is going to be to help us unite as the group so we can then do the work together. That way we end up helping each other. So if something is difficult for one and another person can get that energy pattern perhaps easier, it can all circulate through and we get support from one another. So go in. You can close your eyes, or if you don't want to close your eyes, you can look down at the floor in the space sort of within your personal body territory. Take a deep breath. If you have shoes that are tight, you might want to take them off so your feet are not trapped. Because I'm looking at some of you, there's a little bit constriction in the root chakra areas. So if you have tight shoes, that might be a good plan to take them off. Relax your hips and your lower back. So you're not sitting like a perched little bird. Good. Take a deep breath in and out. One more. And out.
Okay, now you can imagine a crystalline column around your body. You're inside of it. And you want to grow it downward into the floor, into the earth, and upward above your head. Try not to lean too far forward in this crystalline column. Settle back down in your pelvis. Good.
Imagine your crystal growing downwards, extending. You remain here. You're the anchor point, but your crystalline structure extends further and further down. Keep going into the earth, into the soil, and all the way to the center of the planet.
Loosen your jaws. Good, now you can extend the top part of the column upward all the way to the sun to match the frequency of the sun.
As you feel yourself connecting to those two points on each end, the earth, which is a red fire, and the golden energy of the sun, the gold fire, notice that connection, and then let that energy from the bottom up and from the top down to come and meet in your heart chakra. You don't need to force it or pull it or make it come. Just plug in to the planet and the sun and let the energy arrive into your heart. Make sure you're breathing.
In this column, there's an overall sense of stillness, but there's also a lot of movement. So be still and in movement at the same time.
Now tune into your body and let this combined light from your heart shine through every cell of your body from the inside out.
Now you can use that radiance to hold an intention for yourself, just for you, for the workshop. then the intention rides on the radiance throughout your cells. Good.
Now take a breath. Good. Now notice how your body is a little bit more moldable now. Even though you were in a crystalline structure, there is a certain amount of softness to it, like a building that's built for a possibility of earthquake without collapsing.
Flex and sway while being solid.
Yeah, and see if you can do that without unplugging that vertical that we just built. This is essentially what we are talking about when we mean to be in alignment. This is how we align with the planet. This is how our personality aligns with our higher self. This is how our soul and the sun, the soul self, the sun represents the self, how we can link that. So this is a good exercise to help yourself be in alignment with the higher aspects of yourself without the rigidity. Because this column, being crystalline, it still has this capacity to sort of easier sway when needed, but without breaking, versus when we do ego identity and it's this rigid, I'm this, I'm this. So this way we're very soft and fluid, and yet very structural and vertical.
And that's a signature for Pi's energy. This is the first workshop that we've taught since Pi's been in tenure as the soul of the planet. One of the things that she did immediately upon taking over the planet as her body was to put the codes into the grid systems of the planet, and since we're part of the planet, they apply to us, that the bodies can no longer be used, abused for our own agendas, for our own desires and belief systems. The bodies have to be partnered with and honored. So our physical bodies and also the body of the Earth. This is a new program that will take probably hundreds of years for our species to actually maximize this level of balance with physical bodies and with Earth body, but it's on its way.
Yeah, it's connecting the consciousness of who we are to the higher aspects of ourselves. So the idea of self, of the I am-ness of who we are, is being transferred in the time of Pi to the higher self. So instead of, you know how we say, I feel upset, I feel scared, I feel... That's actually the lower self that's related quite often to the body. In the time of Pi, it translates into, my body feels hungry. My personality is having an issue with this. My emotional body is upset or triggered about that. I, as a parent, as a grown-up, am dealing with this child part of me that is having an issue. That is a huge transformation in moving that I am-ness vertically further up on that scale.
This is the theme of spiritual adulthood that goes into selfhood. So if you look at the themes that Gaia, the last host, was working with, motherhood, victimhood, and compassion, it is assumed energetically that we have learned these things well enough, not perfectly, but well enough to now go into the themes of Pi, which are selfhood, which has to do with the inner mother, the inner father, and the inner child as one unit in selfhood. Also, how that self engages life becomes really prominent, and pleasure, which we're all lacking in our planet because of scarcity and victim.
And you're recording that.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Right.
Life happens.
Frequency.
Yeah.
Recording.
We've had situations where all it does is because the energy is too high. So we'll see.
Also, we're going to be going through every chakra front and back, and we'll go through these seven steps for each chakra. So you can take notes for the first six. Then when we go into the experiential,
you're all not looking where she's pointing. So.
There's going to be a structural component in the experiential and a fluid component. And under the structural, there'll be component of attitude and intent, and in the fluid, feeling and intuition. So you don't have to worry about writing all this down, because once you come out of the meditation, then we'll go back over the codes for the attitude, the codes for the intent, the code for the feeling, and the code for the intuition.
After every experiential. So when you're in the experiential, please focus on the energy itself, and then afterwards you'll get your notes.
Notes are not direct experience.
Notes are important because when you write down, you translate through your unique personality, through your handwriting, through how you catch which word, what you want to say. So that's an important piece, but it's not direct experience. Okay, so what we were talking about earlier before the logistics was the three components of pi that she brought in. And the last one is pleasure. That's a good one, right? You can smile now. So that's the one that also has to do with the higher part of us. In the human culture, pleasure has always been associated with the lower self. Like negative pleasure, like getting away from doing something, from having to be responsible, from having to be adult into pleasure. That is not the pleasure that pi is bringing. Sorry. What she's bringing is the pleasure that has to do with the direct experience of soul being in the third dimension, in matter.
It's really the pleasure of mastery. So if we have a sense of mastery in any situation, even if the lower self is just raging and controlling in us, being a rager, you know, but we have a sense of mastery and understanding and wisdom in relationship to the negative experience, there is a pleasure in that. So we're going into this unity aspect with pleasure, so that anything that we do that we would normally not associate with pleasure, like just being able to lie down at night and go to sleep, we think, oh good, this feels good. And then we wouldn't categorize it as, this is the pleasure of being in the body. So when we put it into a compartment called pleasure, we start to be able to funnel in to that compartment many, many ways of being in pleasure that normally would bypass us.
Yeah, and pleasure from the higher self might be that, let's say, you're angry or triggered into feeling sad or terrified, but you're able to witness it, not get trapped in it, view it from the distance, and then be honoring of yourself that, wow, here is the situation. I'm noticing normally I would be all the way in, but I have one foot in, but one foot out. Wow, what an accomplishment in my development. That is actually pleasure that pi is bringing. Yeah. Okay. And pleasure exists on all those levels. That's another thing I just want to mention, because most people associate pleasure with the body, like eating, resting, that kind of pleasure, sex. This is a different perspective on pleasure. You can have mental pleasure. You can have conceptual pleasure from understanding a bigger picture.
It looks like a lot of you are shifting in the belief system level, the belief that you have to be responsible for other people. So as we shift out of that belief, there's such a pleasure of freedom. And then this helps us individuate. Okay, root chakra. Location.
Location.
Location. Location.
Yeah.
So right between the legs.
Obviously, we know it's the root. Roots are down, Jane. So visually, it looks like a funnel that has four mini vortices in there that are looking down.
It's connected to the adrenal gland. And it's...
Go on.
I was going to say, in the function is survival.
The visual we just told you, and with the color, that's one more thing about the color frequency. That's an important piece because people think of root chakra as red, right? Generally, it's just red. It's red on the fluid levels of the energy field. We have structured ones that are always the same color, but we have the fluid ones that change color, they multicolor. And the faster the energy vibration, the lighter the color.
the baseline red at the emotional fluid level, as it gets higher in frequency and the red gets lighter in the colors that Eugenie just mentioned, the higher red colors on the unconditional love level are matched by the deepest red in the emotional level. So if we don't have a sense of strength and vitality in the body, we don't have alertness, then we can't get the higher strength to come through from the sixth level, the unconditional love level.
So on your emotional level, the root chakra will run deep red. On the astral body, it would already run slightly rosy red, lighter red. Same red, but a lighter frequency. And on the unconditional level, it will run pastel color. It will already be very light red, because the sixth level, the unconditional love level, has all the colors in a pastel range.
Okay, so the next category is the sense category, and for the root chakra, it's kinesthetic perception, which is physical pleasure or pain, a sense of balance, physical balance, a sense of movements of energy through the body, like shivers, also changes in physical temperature in the body, hot to cold. We can feel textures if you're talking to somebody and you feel that you feel physically that that person is rough, and you feel it physically as a rough fabric across your skin, then you're tuning into the root chakra perception of roughness and smoothness as a kinesthetic perception, and also density or spaciousness physically. If you're claustrophobic, then the root chakra is not spacious enough.
And sometimes if you, let's say, experiencing an energy of either another person or an energy guide that can go through your field or next to your field, you might feel like your hair stand on end feeling, or some sort of a shiver or cold. That's a sensitivity that is root chakra type of sensitivity. It's an actual psychic sense, but it's a sense that goes through the root chakra.
And if somebody's trying to control you and they're pushing their energy into your third chakra, you might feel like you got kicked in the stomach. That's a kinesthetic root chakra sense.
Yeah, it's always connected to the body senses, but when normally our physical six body senses are used for physical reality only, if using the root chakra perception, same senses get connected more to the root chakra, so we get it from the etheric level, not the physical. Like, let's say a person passing by may be very frustrated and they're far away from you, so physically they're not touching you, but you might feel their frustration in the body, like that was uncomfortable. That's a etheric perception that your body through the root chakra has translated, and then your brain got, oh, that person is not somebody I want to be next to.
Yeah, and if, for example, you're stretching and you're stretching your leg and you feel a catching, like your leg won't stretch, it's not just the muscles, it's your root chakra consciousness, right? So how you are inside of your physical body has so much to do with the root chakra consciousness, because we can sit inside the body if we have a strong root chakra. Otherwise, we're trying to get out of it. So if you stretch your leg and it catches and you can't move the energy, if you tune in for a moment to your root chakra and try to open it up a little bit more, then your leg can release, and then you don't have to force it to open.
Okay, so now onto the function of the chakra. So that's the number four over there. Root chakra is obviously connected to survival, right? That's the energy of being in matter. That's the root that plants us here. It's also connected to the tribal energies of belonging. Belonging that is not necessarily the higher spiritual belonging, but more of a tribe related. Also stamina, physical stamina, how much physical energy the person has. Physical health, if the person has a strong root chakra, their body will be able to heal any kind of an ailment there might be much more efficiently than somebody who does not. The stamina component is related to the physical energy only, The person can have, let's say, a lot of mental stamina and being able to go and figure something out or do research for a very long time, but physically be very weak if their root chakra is not strong. And vice versa, right? Somebody could be physically very strong but get tired easily from emotional processing.
And the will to live is part of the consciousness of the root chakra. And the root chakra is always in the present moment.
And the safety energy is very much connected to the root. If we are in the root chakra, we feel safe. Our body is trusting us that everything is okay.
So when it's not balanced, when the root chakra is not balanced, there's no will to live in the physical body. And a person can literally die if their root chakra collapses and they have no will to live. Like, you probably heard stories of somebody, a married couple, and one spouse dies. The other one just withers. They have no will to live anymore. That means that their sense of safety and survival was so dependent on the other person that when that person leaves the planet, the remaining person doesn't have enough root chakra consciousness to carry on.
Yeah. Another thing is, if you're not present in the moment, right? When we're in the moment, we're in the root chakra. When we're not, then the root chakra gets weak, and then we cannot make a mark on matter. We can think, we can have ideas, but we cannot make a mark. We can't seem to create anything that shows up in material reality.
Yeah, so when people talk about feeling that they're somewhat invisible, that kind of people don't register in people's consciousness, they're not moving enough energy through their root chakra to actually be a present, a force to be present in the root, and then they can't make a mark. It's like they weren't there. They're invisible.
And accomplishment in a material plane is related to the root chakra. Otherwise, it stays as intellectual ideas, some visuals of what we can come up with creatively, but it does not manifest in matter. All of those are malfunctions and imbalances of the root chakra.
So obviously, the easiest way to activate, which now we're in the activation category for the root chakra, is exercise. Little gray clouds on people's heads.
Oh, I'm going to tell you other ways. Don't worry. That's not the
way. Yeah.
The way I like much more is being in the present moment.
Yeah.
You don't have to exercise. You just have to be present.
Yeah, but if you try to stay present all the time, exercise is a breeze. I'll take exercise, right? So, ideally, exercise and staying in the present moment. And stretching, yoga. Stamping your feet, rocking your hips while squatting especially. And if you're in overwhelm and you can get into a squat, really get in there and just kind of hunker down, your root chakra will manually open most of the time without having to go through a whole big thing with exercise.
Yeah, so those are physical things to do, but they are also good for emergencies. You know, if, let's say, we feel really scared or lightheaded or something's going on and you can't think of being in the moment or whatever else, it's too complicated to use the entire energy system, then sometimes it's just easier to do some physical activity to get yourself back in.
Okay, so a whole bunch more of Pi's energy just arrived. So if you're starting to feel or sense or see something, don't want to program anybody, more of her energy will collect in the room as we embody and reflect her.
And another activation for the root chakra is the sound of drums, typical African drumming. That's a very, very good one. And any deep tones, any instrument that can make deep, deep tones, the bass, that's all very good for the root.
And the best time of day to learn about the root chakra, focus on it, is sunrise or early morning. Eating dense foods also helps. Also eating red colored foods, root vegetables.
Working with rocks, any kind of garden variety rocks, river rocks, tuning into granite, tuning into the rock that is in the planet, not crystalline high frequency, but down to earth rocks, that is very good for the root.
And if people have nightmares or they're afraid of stormy weather conditions, you can use that. You can hold the consciousness to use those as root chakra stimulators rather than as something to back off from.
Okay, and south pole of our planet, it's the root chakra of the planet. So anytime we have difficulty with the root, if we connect to the planetary root, we're fine. So tuning into the south pole of the planet is also a very good emergency way to open up your root chakra.
So this entire workshop is primarily designed to teach about the changes of the chakras based on Pi's dynamic. So the next category, change with Pi, we're going into now. With Gaia's energy, it's challenging because her movement was so slow compared to Pi. So if we're still running on Gaia's energy in our root chakra, it's a slower vibration, and when the energy of Pi just came in, it was to quicken the root chakra in each one of us. When you sense the difference between the slow speed of Gaia and the faster speed of Pi, it's not a war, it's an adjustment.
That has also changed the color that normally runs through the root chakra. So if usually we get red, right? Now the red also has deep purple, like think of eggplant color, and mix that with red. So imagine you have two paints, deep red like blood, and that deep purple like eggplant. You put them together and you mix them up, you're going to get still red, but with a little bit of a bluer tint to it. That is the new energy that Pi brought, that if we use that in the root chakra, there is enormous safety, that feeling of detrapment and safety that happens as soon as you run that new energy configuration.
And the sense of safety and peace and calm really escalates.
And that supports the mechanics of planetary gravity in a different way. In other words, our relationship here in soul, in the body, in the matter, to gravity of the planet, the conscious being with Pi in her, has changed by utilizing that new frequency. So you might actually feel lighter or heavier, but your relationship to gravity would feel different when you run that energy. Whatever it is that's necessary for what your soul is doing in your body, and it's different for each person, the relationship to gravity is now more personalized because of that new frequency.
And in the time of Gaia, we voluntarily went into victim consciousness via the patriarchal system. So we disconnected from the planet, we disconnected from gravity, and spun out, basically. So as we're spinning back in, we're realizing that there's a different relationship with gravity because we're going from linear time only to linear time plus spherical time. So in linear time, there's always a longitude and a latitude and a linear trajectory. In spherical time, everything is everywhere. So gravity isn't just down in the center of the Earth, gravity is everywhere. So there's a way of being held in gravity that is more solid everywhere, not directionally solid.
If we think of gravity as a densifying factor that holds us in relationship to lower dimensions. In other words, if you disperse energy more, you end up in a faster frequency in the upper dimensions. If you compress energy more, you end up gravitifying the energy. You're making gravity by compressing. So that's what Isabella is saying, that gravity is more of a concept of a type of a relationship to the space around you instead of gravity as in physics to a particular source.
And if we're in overwhelm or rushing, we're actually disrespecting the force of gravity. So if you think about it like that, it creates a greater impetus to recover from the rushing and the overwhelm.
Yeah, that goes back to being present in the moment. If we're really present in the moment, then we're not rushing, we're not moving out of whatever the actual experience is. Because of it, we are experiencing it deeper because we're resonating with the gravity of that event.
There's the word gravitas, and that means having authority and dignity, and it comes from the word connected to gravity, which means grounded and supported.
So in the connection with the change, that's one of the main things, that you can see it through color, by changing the color, you can see it through different relationship with gravity, or you can see it through more spherical perception instead of linear in relationship to the root chakra.
But you have to see it.
Which is all one thing, really, from three different angles.
Okay.
So, slowly.
Now we see how well it can be manifested in the experience. So it's good to put your papers down.
So we're going to go in for, 10 minutes or so. If you're comfortable sitting in your chair without your shoes, great. Find yourself a spot that you can be in, that your body is comfortable. If your body's comfortable to sit on the floor, sit on the floor. There's enough room. If your body's comfortable to be by the wall with the flat legs straight out, do so.
If the bodies are relatively comfortable, they'll be more amenable to the experience.
All right, so you can close your eyes and tune in, and you want to bring your awareness to your root chakra. Allow yourself to notice what is going on in there. Don't try to do anything, fix anything, bring anything. Just experience what is.
As you're present to what is, notice issues or challenges that might arise. Say if your body is hurt, or you're tired, or depleted, or is your mind racing and keeping you out of stillness.
Notice what might be in the way of you being present. We're witnessing what is. We're not changing anything yet. We're just bringing the awareness there in the root chakra. As you are witnessing, you might notice that what you're witnessing begins to change. You're not doing anything on your own, it occurs. That is because observer changes reality. Keep witnessing and noticing. Good. This is preparing us for the update of Pi. So now we're going to focus in the root chakra from the structural side, the electric side. The ones of you who are more electric might choose that direction. The attitude of being fully present.
The attitude is like an overall umbrella or environment.
And the intent of strength that goes through your structural levels, hold that in your root chakra. Attitude of being present and intent of strength. Good. And from the fluid side, on the feeling side, feeling of relief and the intuition of trusting. That goes through your fluid levels. So being present and strength and relief and trusting.
Good. Now when you're ready, come back to the room.
So tune in your body, now that you're back, to the new energy in your root chakra. You all brought in that Pi update we were talking about as you were holding the energy. So have a moment, now that your eyes are open and you're more awake here, and kind of experience yourself. See what's going on there in your root chakra. How that feels. Sometimes it's easier to notice if you stand, so if some of you want to stand up and sit down, sometimes that changes things too. The flow is different. You don't need to walk, but just be in your place and notice what's happening in your root. Notice how the energy works through your legs now. And all of you got that purple frequency added to the red. Right now, we're holding it for the whole room. So even if that's not something you do normally, you right now are experiencing it. So tune in, see if that's something that your body enjoys and you want that. Encode that for yourself, that feeling, so you can have that memory to bring that in when you're in your own environment.
And once that new frequency has entered a root chakra, it will always have access to that imprint. Its memory is perfect. Yeah. The chakra consciousness. So if you feel like you're going to lose it, remind yourself that it's always imprinted in there, and you match the vibration, and it comes back online.
And because it relates to being in the present moment, as soon as we roll into the present moment, we have access to that program that you all just downloaded. Just like in your computer, it can be dormant or it could be active. It's up to you if you choose to run it. The old energy, the way that it used to be, deep red, it still does exist. But if you want this updated sort of a frequency, that might make it easier to be on Earth.
So if you want to write...
So you might want it.
The will to live here, not just the will to live.
Want this planet?
So if you want to write down the structural energies of the root chakra, the attitude is being fully present. The intent is strength. Those are structural. On the fluid side, the feeling is relief. And the intuition is trusting.
This trusting is trusting the self. It's trusting the alignment, which is the thing we did at the very beginning with the vertical. It's not trusting something else out there. It's trusting the self and the alignment.
When we trust enough in this root chakra way and let go, we're being held by something huge. If we don't trust, we have to tighten and stiffen. So the trusting and the relief go together because it's so relieving to be able to trust being present on the planet.
And notice this connects to the higher self pleasure. Right? Because the lower self pleasure would be to say, oh, I am relieved because I can trust somebody else will take care of me. So I get support because something else is going to, you know, make me okay. That's the lower self pleasure in a way, right? It's negative pleasure. That is not what we're talking about. But in the higher self, just like Isabel said, we end up with the feeling of being supported and safe because we're present. But that trusting is the higher self vertical alignment trusting. Then we get the true relief. That relief is actually the personality is having about, oh, it's not all up to me. Thank God that God is here.
Okay, now on to the second chakra. The location for the front aspect of the second chakra is the low belly between the navel and the pubic bone. And the back aspect is on the back of the body, obviously, near the sacrum.
And both chakras are connected to the vertical tube, perpendicular to it. So there's a vertical flow, and one chakra goes in the front, one goes on the back, and they both connect the funnels to the vertical tube.
And the second chakra is related to the ovaries in females and the testes in men.
So the visual, the color is orange, bright and happy orange, which also changes in the multicolored levels of the energy field. So it's a very bright orange in our emotional bodies. It's sort of a salmon color orange on the astral. And it's a peachy pastel color, lighter, on the sixth body, the unconditional body.
And the sense quality of the second chakra is emotional feeling. Being able to sense your own emotional undercurrents, both positive emotional and negative. And also, if you've let somebody else's emotions into your second chakra, then you will feel theirs as yours, which is awkward and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And not the thing to do, but happens.
Yeah.
If the boundary is not clear.
The more that we're anchored in the root chakra, the easier it is for the second chakra to figure out whose emotional energy is whose. The clarity comes up quite effectively.
Okay, now on to the function. The front aspect, we're going to talk separately front and back because those do different things. So the front aspect of the second chakra, it connects to energy of abundance, desire, pleasure, creativity, and sexual energies, sensual and sexual. The giving and the receiving of energies of those types, creativity and sexuality, that's all happening through the front of the second chakra.
In the back of the second chakra, it's a will chakra, and it's the will to have life force for self. Also, it connects to the amount of charge that the life force can carry. And this is so important because it's the energy for drive, curiosity.
You know, when people say, I have a drive to do this, there's what they mean is the force of energy. There's this oomph that's coming to want to do something instead of I just decided to do that. But I have a drive to do that. That drive, that force, that comes from the back of the second chakra.
It's like a propeller that allows us to move into new experiences with more awareness, more life force, more curiosity. It's the get up and go. It's the Nike thing, just do it. Mm-hmm. If there's not enough energy in the second chakra on the back, there's no doing it.
So it's equally important to understand the imbalances of that second chakra, because then we can track what's going on with us and we know how to get back to balance. So the imbalance, if the front of the second chakra is weak, then we have fear of pleasure. Pleasure feels dangerous. This is where we are always dissatisfied. If that chakra doesn't have enough energy, there's dissatisfaction. There's shame, there's guilt, there's scarcity, there's feeling like a victim, separation from life, when you feel life is passing you by and you can't seem to relate, that's a not enough energy in the front of the second chakra. No orgasms, that's also second chakra on the front issue.
If the second chakra on the front spins counterclockwise,
but strong,
but there's a very strong force connected to it, then the person goes into entitlement, creates addictions.
It's the entitlement for pleasure.
It's the need to be fulfilled by toxic substances and behaviors.
There is a demand there for pleasure. And it's from the outside world.
It's the desire that I want this thing at all costs, even if it harms the body.
Sexual perversions, all sorts of unusual tendencies with sexuality that is never satisfied. That's all front chakra, second on the front, very strong but spinning counterclockwise.
Light bulbs are starting to go off. People self-assign their own stuff. Knowing, you know, the map of where the energy is caught and how is so important to be able to then go into mastery. You know, a lot of people say that they don't want to have to focus on the anatomy of energy, but if we don't focus on the anatomy of energy, how are we ever going to go into other dimensions and explore if we don't understand the energy anatomy? Because the energy anatomy, our field, our chakras, our consciousness, is what takes us into those multidimensional explorations.
And by the same token, when people say, I don't want to look at the negative, I only want to know how the good, happy chakra function.
You get slammed back in the body if you try to go into 4D.
Yeah. So the second chakra on the back imbalance, if it's weak, then we feel powerless. We feel just like we're unplugged. Life is boring, devoid of magic. There is no direction or passion of any kind. We're just kind of existing. So if you're ever in that state, you know that, oh, my second chakra on the back is too weak right now. So I have to focus and bring more energy to the back of my second chakra, and then life starts to be more exciting.
And if the second chakra on the back spins counterclockwise and the life force in it is very strong, then the person has a really powerful sex drive that usually controls them, and they're aggressive with that sex drive. They can have sexual fantasies and perversions.
And that one, the strong current and counterclockwise spin on the back, also inability to commit. When people have commitment issues, and I don't just mean relationship, like in regular life, right, when we decide we're going to do something but we don't fully commit to it, so then even though we kind of decided, it doesn't really happen, the follow-through doesn't happen, that's second chakra on the back, having energy, but going counterclockwise.
And commitment connects to follow-through, which connects to the will to have life force, to go into new experiences. So the inability to commit makes a person like a dabbler. And if we dabble, we don't get into mastery of anything.
Yeah, we fly from flower to flower, we sample a lot of things, and then on the end, we don't actually get mastery. So because it's surface.
People that want a lot of sexual partners and want a lot of new sexual partners all the time, they're working with second chakra energy on the back, counterclockwise, and really strong. A lot of people that end up with that kind of a dynamic didn't go through positive attachment from the child to the mother, so they're always looking for that kind of stimulation that feels good in the body, and then it comes up with a sexual overtone to it.
Yeah, and the second chakra on the front, counterclockwise spin, very strong, that has the demand. You can imagine that's the one where got attention focused on all the time as a child. So then when that person goes into the world, they demand that everybody does that, like the world owes them that attention. So if somebody has strong energy front and back and both spin counterclockwise.
Stay away from that. Run.
Yeah. Well, that's a typical, you know, psychopathic personality, when the person feels like everybody owes them and he or she has no problem going and getting whatever they want in an aggressive way. That's both chakras strong but counterclockwise spin. Yeah. As we're talking, notice what's happening actually in the chakra we're talking about, because a lot of you started to float up more on the mental. I mean, it is a mental conversation, but there's a lot of energy component happening to
and
match.
Even if we think we already know something, but guess what? We're all not completely enlightened yet, so there's more knowing needed. Then hear it and then let it register more deeply so that there's a stronger knowing in more of the chakras.
Okay, on to the activation.
Where's the strippers? On cue. Okay. Rocking your pelvis back and forward, like in the sexual act of intercourse. Doing scissor kicks, either seated scissor kicks or lying on your back. Moving your legs back and forth like scissors. That opens up second chakra front and back. But the easiest way is to go into pleasure. Shortcut.
And remember, we talked about different kinds of pleasure, so we don't just mean physical pleasure, but that works as well. I mean, eating something or smelling essential oil, let's say, that you really enjoy. I mean, those are components as well. But there's so many kinds of pleasure.
If you're so thirsty and you finally get water and you get to drink the water and you feel how good that feels and you say, this is amazing pleasure to be able to feel this, so that the pleasure centers are programmed for the smaller pleasures, and then as we get more and more able to handle the smaller pleasures, the foundation is stronger in the second chakra, and then we can start to handle the amazing intensity of pleasure coming from the higher self into the body. And that's a scary feeling if we're not acclimated to it.
Yeah, and the pleasure energy, it's about noticing something as pleasure, instead of thinking of the external stimuli as giving pleasure.
Right. Also, if you have just this momentary wafting thrill, oh, that feels good, but then on to the next thing, right? it doesn't land as a pleasure component just occurred. It doesn't go into like a structural box. We want to put things in structural boxes because that makes a foundation that then we can rely on over and over. So we can notice, yeah, that feels good, but it didn't land. It's like having money that goes right through your hands. You have it and you don't have it.
Yeah, and our energy system receives energy. If it receives but then gives out right away, it just passed through like a wind, it doesn't register, so then the body satisfaction and the second chakra satisfaction doesn't happen. But it's not because the pleasure didn't happen, it's because we did not hold on to the experience of pleasure. So noticing that and holding on to it, that's the box Isabel's talking about, like putting it in the box internally, like, oh yeah, I feel this, like this water is really good, or this smell is great, or this view I really enjoy, or my own internal understanding of something, yes, I like this. So holding that for a moment, then letting it go. But that moment is what builds up the energy in the second chakra.
And this is very much on the electrical yang masculine side of conscious awareness, to be able to label things well and clearly, and then you can find them in the archives, they're in your grid system, so that you build a repository for the experience of pleasure. And if it just goes back and forth and back and forth, in and out without registering, it's like it didn't happen.
So another way to activate the second chakra is sound. That's related to music like tango, Latin music, Hawaiian rhythms, could be rock and roll depending on what kind of music you like, but whatever gives you pleasure in that way, how body vibrates with music, you know, some music just kind of makes you want to feel this flow of energy, that naturally supports the second chakra.
And it's really important to make the shift from not being in pleasure to being in pleasure quickly. Like if you're bored or feeling angry or have scarcity issues or something like that, and you're thinking about it, that you can think about it for a long time and then figure out a pleasure thing to do as a medicine. But if you have the discomfort, not enough pleasure, and you immediately apply a pleasure activation, then it's one-to-one. No pleasure, pleasure. No pleasure, pleasure. And so it's more available then to get into pleasure because the technique between not having it and then having it bonds the two together rather than a long time without pleasure and then put the medicine in.
And it brings us more into alignment because when we're in that vertical alignment with our own soul, it's actually not neutral, but it's harmoniously balanced opposites. But when we're down here, the duality is split into two opposites that are very far away from each other, so there's a lot of tension. So we have something that we don't like and something that we do like. If you notice something you don't like, but you immediately balance it out with pleasure, like Isabel was just saying, that brings us closer to the center, which is that harmonious alignment, which then brings more of the soul energy through.
And the way that most of our cultures are structured are not conducive to second chakra pleasure energy because we tend to go, go, go in a very masculine yang electric style throughout the day, risking and putting out energy, and then maybe have a little lunch break or something, and then in the evening time we're supposed to go into the yin magnetic refueling. But masters put out and refuel one-to-one.
And if we get really good at that, then it's almost simultaneous. So you can go through the day doing something that might not be as pleasureful, but at the same time have higher awareness of yourself doing it and witness that and know what your reactions are, but then not fall into your reactions and then have a pleasure from being able to witness that, which goes completely parallel to whatever you're doing, which might not be as fun. That's when we are in mastery.
One of the best times of the day to focus on second chakra specifically is when we're eating and drinking. People talk about slowing down and tasting the food, but if we focus on the second chakra when we're drinking something or eating something, then we associate those two basic human renewal patterns with deep, deep pleasure. And then we start to sense and feel and taste and smell the nutrition and the prana. It's mostly for the prana awareness that we want to utilize eating and drinking in relationship to pleasure in the second chakra.
Another good way to activate the second chakra is tuning into the weather conditions that we enjoy. Might be very different for anybody, but it's the idea of imagining yourself, let's say, by a river and hearing the water and smelling the clear air, or imagining yourself on the top of the mountain with snow, or on a tropical beach with a palm tree, whatever works for you. Whatever your way that brings you pleasure, tuning into that weather condition, that space surrounding you in a different way, activates that perception. So then your body, it doesn't know you're not literally there, it thinks it's there. It starts to actually experience whatever you brought in as that imagined state. And when we do that, our second chakras feel very good, run a lot of energy, and start to spin clockwise if they were going incorrectly.
Then when you take your favorite weather condition to practice with, and the nervous system gets imprinted with the ability to go from stress to pleasure, because you put your favorite weather pattern then you can be in any environment and any kind of weather, and your body will go into pleasure if you tell it, because you trained it to do it with your favorite, and then you can still keep that weather condition as your favorite, but all the other weather conditions become more endurable and even more pleasurable.
That's where the concept of the happy place comes from. You know, like when you kind of like go in your happy place.
Yeah.
So if we come up with in meditation sometime when we're not in any kind of an agony, what is the personal happy place that we actually enjoy, and we encode that by consciously choosing to be in that meditative space for maybe 15 or 20 minutes so the body gets that, and we do that in shortened increments afterwards, then in case of emergency, if something's going on and we're really not well, we can go immediately into that, and the second chakra immediately feels, oh, everything is okay, there's pleasure, it starts to spin clockwise, it receives energy front and back, and it makes the whole system able to go into balance.
And the last thing about the weather patterns is that weather patterns are made out of the elements, earth, air, fire, and water, which everything else is made out of as well. Atoms are made out of those. So if we go into the weather pattern, it's like a big dose of elemental rebalancing. So if you need more fire, earth, element, water, or air, it will come through your favorite weather pattern. That's why you like that weather pattern. So it's a physiological elemental balancing as well as an imagined weather environment.
Yeah. It usually gives us what we're lacking or what we need more of to stabilize. Like some people like to sit by the fire. That's their way of relaxing because their body is saying a little bit more fire would calm me down because let's say there's too much water, right? Or somebody else, if they have a lot of air, probably being in a place where they don't feel trapped, but have a grounding, like on the mountain, let's say, there's spaciousness, and yet you're planted on a big rock. That would help. So it depends on your own elemental configuration, then your happy place would change based on that.
And the next category is how the second chakra is changing because of the presence of Pi. And as we're evolving the self through Pi's tenure here, the idea of self-love and pleasure, second chakra energy. If you look at the higher concept of unconditional love, and it's too big to be unconditional with oneself, if we learn about pleasure and we start with self-liking, then the energy of the self-love, which actually goes more through the second chakra than the heart, we can stay in a training zone so we get more comfortable with self-love and pleasure. And in many spiritual traditions, pleasure is the pathway to the divine. So pleasure is not negotiable anymore. It's an absolute requirement.
But remember, it's the higher pleasure, not the lower self-pleasure. Lower self-pleasure is not going to get you to the divine.
So we need this chakra working well to have a smooth, creative pathway to exist.
Yeah, when we're in avoidance or when we're scared and we choose to procrastinate because of fear, that's pleasure, but that's negative lower self-pleasure. That is not what we're talking about. Because for the second chakra, sometimes it's confusing because it feels like pleasure. It actually feels like pleasure to be in avoidance sometimes. But that is a counterclockwise spin and it's not the energy of the higher self, of the higher frequency running through the second chakra. So a very essential pleasure in a time of Pi is that higher frequency pleasure, but that does come with being the higher self part of us, the grown up, not the child. We have to parent the child, but there is a pleasure in being able to be in reality with the child. That's the liking the child, right? Even if the child in us misbehaves, does something that we kind of feel like, I don't like that about me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, knowing that the parent part of us is here loving that child, that creates pleasure.
As we work with this pleasure and self-love, we access more creativity in how to deal with the lower self part that comes through the second chakra, the addictive part.
Yeah, and all those malfunctions of the second chakra we were talking about, those will become more apparent as Pi remains on the planet and becomes stronger. Yeah. In other people and in you. So you might be noticing this more in others and in yourself.
When a person's kinesthetic and they sense through the root chakra, kinesthetic sense, using it in the second chakra, and if we say are negative about ourselves emotionally, you might feel a tightening in the second chakra on the front, like a restriction of life force, and it actually might feel like a clenching and a tightening. You might have never felt that before. It'll feel more, you'll feel it more often every time there's a self-denial in that chakra. Mm-hmm. And also the volume of pleasure, the amount that can come through. A lot of people are working with volume expansion in the second chakra across the board, like volume of all kinds of pleasure, not just specialized. Because most of us go into our specialized pleasures and then we get upset when we don't have them.
Yeah, that component of dissatisfaction is probably going to get stronger in connection with Pi. Because unless we are in the high frequency pleasure, we're going to be dissatisfied. That's not been so with Gaia. With Gaia, we could be in a lower self pleasure and be just fine.
That's why a lot of people have been talking about, I used to like this before. This used to make it, you know, worthwhile to be around, and now everything is flat. If we take the higher self pleasure into some of these more mundane things, yeah, then we can reignite them. But we can't use them as a substitute for higher pleasure.
Yeah, so if you notice dissatisfaction, that's a clue that lower self-pleasure isn't working anymore, but the higher self-pleasure is not happening in you in that moment. So if there's a dissatisfaction, look for a way to bring the higher self-pleasure into the moment you're in, and you will notice more satisfaction. That's a very big change in connection with Pi. We've been hearing from a lot of people about being dissatisfied. Certain things that used to be don't work anymore and that kind of thing. That is all related to the second chakra energy switching to, just like everything else, to the higher self I am-ness versus the lower self I am-ness. So Pi is asking us to be our own parent, not associate with the child. Parent the child, not be the child.
It's awkward and uncomfortable and disorienting to unplug a chakra consciousness to some degree and plug a new thing in, because the body, well, all the bodies actually, then run on two systems. They run on the old one and the new one simultaneously. And it's like stop, go in a car, right? But if we're aware that that's happening, then we can get excited because the new system is going to be more and more and more operative, and the old system is going to be more and more defunct. And that's really pleasurable.
Yeah, and the good news is that the new system does exist and is supported by the planet now. So it's up to us to switch to the new train tracks, sort of, or to remain on the old ones. As long as we keep going more towards the higher self-perception of life and that witness mode and the parenting of ourselves instead of expecting the world to do so, then we will end up utilizing the new pattern that Pi brought in automatically. So then eventually the old one will just atrophy because it doesn't get our energy.
We're already going into the experiential.
Yeah. Okay. They're like, I want this.
This swaying back and forth. Well, put your papers down. We'll explain the swaying. It is pre-occurring. Same thing as with the root chakra. In the second chakra, front and back. Just notice what is.
So you can close your eyes if that helps, so you can go inside. Body discomfort can very easily block the energy work, so we want to be in the space that body is okay. So you're tuning into the front and the back. Notice how those two funnels meet at your vertical tube. And witness what is. Is the energy flowing? Is it not flowing? Keep your spine somewhat straight, so you're not like a question mark, because that also minimizes the energy flow. Doesn't have to be rigidly straight, but somewhat straight. Notice what negative emotion is your habitual default pattern in those two chakras. Is it anger or dissatisfaction? Is it anxiety? Arrogance? Demand? Feeling frozen? Terror. Witness what is, find what is your habitual default negative in those chakras and see if it's the same on the front and on the back.
Also notice how effective it is in keeping you out of creativity and pleasure. How well it works at doing that.
Notice what that negative pattern does to your second chakra. Does it block it? Does it freeze it? Does it spin it like a propeller really big, but in a counterclockwise direction? Are you projecting energy or are you taking energy in when you're in the negative pattern? Sort of steady yourself.
Yeah, that internal kind of swaying motion that some of you are picking up on, that's how you're moving from what the negative imbalance is. By observing it, you're moving from the negative imbalance into a rebalancing of deeper fulfillment and pleasure.
Yeah, remember, you don't want to do anything, you want to witness That's the parent. And as you're doing that, the energy begins to change to match that higher self configuration.
Yeah, the permission to feel really good for no reason is the basis of the truest pleasure and the highest pleasure. Boredom looks gray, and some people have some boredom going on, so that just means that there's a refusal to allow the movement of orange energy in that chakra. That's all it means.
And the frustration of, why is nothing happening? What's wrong with me? That's actually a demand pattern.
Good.
Make sure you're breathing and notice how the energy changes on the front and on the back. As you notice there is more flow, you can envision energy flowing through the front into your body, coming out of the back, or from the back into your body, coming out of the front. Notice what happens when you do that. Notice which chakra, front or back, is bigger. Some of you have one chakra really big and one really small, so it should be pretty easy to see. That would be a clue about which particular center you would need to focus more on.
Good, we just reached maximum opening for everybody. We don't have to go the whole way in the second chakra, just maximum opening enough to get the Pi update in.
Feel the energy of the front. Notice what happens there. Good. Now feel the energy in the back. And see if you can hold both in your awareness.
As you're doing this, you want to utilize the attitude on the structural side of consciousness, of curiosity. And also on the structural side, the intent of support.
As you do that, make sure you're vertical.
Okay, on the fluid side, you want to hold the feeling of pleasure. and the intuition of healthy desire.
There is beautiful energy here in the room of the circulating pleasure, this yumminess. Let yourself soak it in. So you can train your body to have that energy all the time, not dependent on circumstances at all.
Some of you are bringing it all the way in to the chakra, front and back, some partially in. It doesn't matter, because all you have to do is have some part of the chakra receive the new energy, and it's good to go.
So as we're holding this, you're getting this pie update of pleasure that's not related to circumstantial external story, but is connected to the higher self perception of reality. Interesting. There a lot of energy just got pulled out from your second chakras. That was the energy that was not compatible with the new energy that came in. What came in was faster frequency. So some of you that had darker energy that was connected to negative pleasure just got pulled out from your second chakra on the front. So there's more room for that higher frequency, pleasure frequency from pi.
Then the back starts to rev up a little bit more when we release the old energy, when the new stuff comes in.
Notice some of you start to float up when you think of higher self. Higher self is not up, it's faster frequency. It's underneath your butt just as much as over your head. So if you want higher self perception, perhaps expand to the higher frequency levels of the second chakra. Let's say 6-7 feet of that funnel in front of you or behind you.
You will not be disturbing anybody in front or back, because when we're in our own energy, we can space opens up so that there's enough room for everybody and there's no competition. Some people are still trying just a little bit too hard, which tilts the entire vertical tube too much to the right. Mm-hmm. So just reset your vertical tube vertically. This is about awareness, not extended effort.
Your pleasure in relationship with pi occurs based on alignment, not on the effort. If you want a little bit of the help with the alignment, above you, about 9-10 feet from your heads, there is a golden energy that's related to the space structure that we're sitting in order to hold the workshop we're doing. So you can go up with your vertical tube and link up to this thing about 10 feet above you. That might help to hold the vertical from collapsing. Then return to your second chakra as you plugged in, so then you can experience the second chakra energy. That's just a little bit of a support here for you guys.
And the energy in the room for the entire workshop looks like a giant crystalline cobalt blue sphere. It's very simple, and it has this golden vertical tube in the very middle of the sphere that pumps up and down with spiraling energy. So as each one of you are shifting in your second chakra, you're having more attunement to this cobalt sphere with the golden vertical tube in the middle.
That is meant to mimic our human energy field with a very healthy boundary of blue and the golden vertical tube when we are in alignment. So Think of it like a hologram. You sort of have a mini copy of that within your system as you're sitting in the field like that, in the room. Good, that helped.
Yeah, inside is like a giant lung filled with so much prana.
Prana is undifferentiated life force.
Free life force.
That got them into pleasure. We should have just started from life force.
And it has a tiny champagne quality to it.
Now we're going to get them drunk. All right, you can
come back.
Okay, yes. And the same thing like we did before, tune into your second chakra.
You can get up.
You can stand up if you feel like it. You don't need to walk around, just be in your space. And notice how your front and back feel, what's going on in there. This is not so much about your physical body as about the energy perception. But notice what is happening in there. I see some of you are cold and some of you are warm. So are we cold or are we warm?
And it can change.
Yeah. Chakra to chakra.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with higher frequency too. So when we connected to the blue with the gold, a lot of you got the faster vibration for the alignment. And when that happened, your body's hypothalamus told you that you're supposed to be cold because the energy was faster. So then you got cold. That's not actually cold. That's body perception.
When I'm horizontal and trying to imagine being connected vertically, I get lost in the...
You want to stay vertical while you're horizontal. It's the vibration through the tube more than actually longitude and latitude. So it doesn't matter what position your body is in. You're looking for the verticality as a frequency pattern. Not necessarily. We practice by sitting up straighter, right? But we can be lying down and have a really strong vertical feet.
So you're connecting with the sun and the earth.
Yep.
You can be upside down and your root chakra would still be connected to the earth.
Yeah. When you're lying down, if you want to connect to the earth, just send the energy down the root chakra and know that it's going into the planet, even though you're not in the directional downward movement.
Okay. Yeah, that's because from the soul perspective, there is no up and down. We imagine this. We human beings make this up by being inside third dimension and having this idea that that is up and that is down because gravity of the root chakra pulls us down, so we're walking vertically. But from the soul perspective, it's a faster or slower frequency. So you can have slower frequency in your root chakra, faster in your crown chakra, and you can spin yourself whichever way you want to, and it still will be that. So vertical is in alignment to your body, no matter what your body is doing. If you're lying down and you're tuning into the vertical, like in the system in the room, even though it is vertical, you're actually still tuning into it within your body. You're matching it as your body verticality.
And we learn about direction more spatially as we grow, and then we learn about it conceptually. So there is no up and there's no down, there's just high frequency and slow frequency. So as a concept, it's everywhere instead of position in longitude and latitude.
Yeah, direction is a concept that's based on orientation from the soul. When we're basing the orientation from the body, then it becomes literal direction within a material plane, which does not apply directly to the energy field. That's why the higher self is not above you. Higher self is everywhere. It's a part of you that vibrates faster than your fears. You can have a fear in your crown chakra, right? We can have a fear in our root chakra. So it's the same thing with this higher teacher, wise part of us. We can be wise in our feet.
Okay, so for the structural side, the attitude is curiosity. And the intent is support. For the fluid side,
the feeling is pleasure, and the intuition is healthy desire. It's actually being able to recognize what is healthy desire. So in a lot of your second chakras, these new Pi Update code patterns that we're talking about, they're starting to buzz and sparkle. So.
I'm glad you're feeling it.
Rock and roll.
All right, on to the third chakra. It also has two aspects, the front and the back. The front one is your solar plexus area, and the back one is the middle of your back. Two funnels connected to the vertical tube with their tips in the middle.
And it's connected to the pancreas.
So the visual for the third chakra is yellow. Bright, bright, sunny yellow. And on the fluid levels, it just gets a little bit lighter as it becomes faster frequency. So on the sixth unconditional love body level, it's still yellow, just very pastel light yellow.
And the sense of the third chakra is intuition. This is the center of our feeling brain. There's neurons in the solar plexus area that are very similar to the neurons inside the brain. So this is known as the solar plexus is the feeling brain. And if we use basic intuition, kind of a vague sensing, we're sensing through the third chakra on the lower three levels of the field.
And lower doesn't necessarily mean at your legs, but lower everywhere, as in etheric, emotional, mental, and up to astral.
Yeah, so direction, purpose, bigger concepts.
Yeah, higher intuition, this is the intuition that people usually talk about when they mean spiritual intuition. It's the intuition of understanding the meaning of the event or seeing the purpose of the lesson. Those are the bigger concepts related to intuiting and getting much higher frequency perception and understanding of something.
So if you want to play with your intuition and you want to use more of the basic intuition, then notice your third chakra solar plexus expansion a little bit away from you. And then as you go out further in distance, then you'll get the higher intuition because you'll enter the higher levels of the field.
Lower intuition on the lower three levels and fourth happens almost in spite of us. It's something that some people just have more than others. It's a kind of a vague sense of, ooh, I shouldn't go in this direction, the road will be blocked, or something like that. This is intuition that the third chakra perceives, but this has nothing to do with spirituality. It's just the sense wired into that chakra. But as we become more enlightened, more masterful with ourselves, then the chakra learns to function on the higher levels of itself. So that's the funnel of the solar plexus expanding further and further, so about 7 feet from the body. That would be the conceptual outer rim of the third chakra.
In many Native American cultures that no longer exist, the hunters would use the third chakra as a scanner. So they would use the intuition on the lower levels to find out where the animal was that was going to be ready to be utilized by the Native Americans. They would also use the intuition on the higher levels of their field to go into the spirit of that animal. So they had the basic human aspect connected to the animal and then the honoring of the life force in the animal.
And this is what the shamans do. Shamans usually don't use the crown so much. They actually use the solar plexus, and they're able to resonate with a higher aspect of their solar plexus chakra. So it's the intuition based on that higher frequency that then can relate to guiding a person, let's say, or finding an animal, or relating to the purpose of this particular person being in a particular place at the time.
So when the white people came in and noticed how many of these native cultures, particularly in, I'm talking about the United States, as it used to be, the white people didn't understand how the natives were able to do that, but the native people knew how to be part of the continuum. And they knew that all life was a circle, so then they were part of that circle, whereas the white people, not so much.
Yeah, and that perspective of the higher intuition and being part of the cycle, that also relates to a different use of the root chakra. We talked about root before, but that connects directly to hair. We were talking about before how hairs can stand on end if something happens that's a kinesthetic, that's a root chakra sense. Well, if you know, native cultures had very long hair. That's because hair is like an antenna. So it makes the sense that the root chakra picks up stronger, like an antenna. And if the tribe knew how to train people to resonate with the higher frequency intuition component, they end up using the antennas of their long hair. That's how native people could resonate with life in such a way that they felt connected to it. They knew what was going on, not on the mental level, how our culture knows, but almost like an animal instinctual level, because they were wired into that system.
So the function of the third chakra, the front aspect, has to do with identity, power. It's a statement about who we are in the world. It's like an advertising, like a brand. It also contains the personal codes, like how our identity operates. So we have an identity, and then that identity operates in a particular way. So the codes for that operation of identity are in this chakra. Also the energy of self-respect, self-esteem, and mental clarity. And the self-respect and self-esteem is not accomplishment-based. It's the respect and the esteem because we exist. And by having respect and self-esteem, we can think more clearly.
And it's not possible to respect who we are if we don't have a clear idea of who we are. So identity is very much wired into the understanding of respect. The same goes for respecting others. It's not possible to respect others if we can't respect ourselves. This is what ends up happening a lot in our current culture, is there is a demand for respect based on fear. There's a confusion that if you're afraid of me, that means you respect me. That is not the respect in a true sense, and that happens because the person who is demanding respect is not having self-respect because they don't have a clear idea of who they are.
So this whole thing that's really up a lot in this country in schools about bullying and outing the bullies and letting the people that are bullied have a platform to, you know, have it more out in the open, this is really a reworking of the third chakra, because the bully would press in and try to take control over a situation to dominate because of the insecurity on the inside. And so, you know, as we, this is a third chakra country. We tried to move into a more of a heart chakra country, third and heart, after 9/11, but it didn't work out so well. So we're still stuck in the third as a country identity. And as we deal with the concept of bullying, then there's more information for people, both the bully and the one who gets bullied, about how to come to mediation in terms of clearing the harm.
Yeah, that respect component is what's happening on the planetary scale as well. If you see in the politics and country politics, country against country, it's the same concept of demanding respect based on not knowing the identity of the one who is demanding. So to deal with that, there's always going to be somebody who needs to play one side of that game and who needs to play the other side. But if you, within your own system, know that you already understand both sides, don't play the game at all. That's by stepping back from that instead of participating and getting wired up, because then we end up having to take sides. If we do that, we actually disrespect ourselves. By staying back and witnessing, we do respect who we are.
And when we have in the front aspect of the third chakra this self-esteem and respect and mental clarity, then as we move to the function on the back of the chakra, which is the will to be whole, the will to unify all parts of the self, we actually have the capacity to do that because we can include the negative aspects. The negative aspects have to be included in the will to be whole. But without the self-esteem, we don't have enough selfhood to be able to deal with those negative aspects. We just want them to go away. Cherish your negative aspects. Mm-hmm. They're a gold mine.
Yeah, and the back aspect of the third chakra is kind of like a defragmenting program. It takes all the fragmented parts of ourselves and puts them into a synchronized version of ourselves. When our thoughts and feelings and beliefs and senses all can function as one. So when the third chakra on the back does what it's supposed to do, what it's meant to do in a balanced sense, we are defragmented. We are one unified in sync being. Doesn't mean perfect, doesn't mean everything is great, but it means that we can function in unified way within ourselves instead of having an inner war. Yeah, anytime we think that something we want is outside of us, we are in illusion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is nothing outside of us. We are the observer that creates reality. So any change we need to make is always internal.
Yeah, if you see a person and you think you need to talk to that person or you have to connect or something, and you pull yourself back in your tube and run your energy up and down for a moment, then you, as the higher, wiser part, can know, do I really need to go talk to them or not? You might be able to just tune in, vibe something, and walk on by, or you might be able to go straight up to them and be having a really good contact.
Yeah, and another example connected to what Isabel said, if you feel like you have to talk to someone, but for some reason it's not happening, like maybe they're too busy, maybe they left, and then you feel disappointed and you feel left out, and like that typical energy that we human beings tend to experience, mm-hmm. that means the energy was projected onto that individual. But if in that moment we recognize, I have such a strong need to go towards that person, but I don't get to have that experience. Now, why do I want that? What am I getting from wanting to go there? What do I think I'm going to get from that person? In other words, you bring it back to yourself. That's a form of self-respect. When we do that, we change the internal world. At that point, the other person is irrelevant. If we go talk to them or not, is not going to anymore make us feel left out or hurt or anything, because it's about us learning something about us, not about having something to gain from that other individual.
And it feels so good because we send our third chakra way out into that other person, right? And they could be, you know, in anywhere in the world, not just in a room together. And when we pull the third chakra energy back in, it's like our life force comes back. Otherwise, we give them our third chakra and say, please do with this what I want you to do with it, and they don't.
That's why people tend to get so exhausted when they overly involved in other people's issues. You know, like when we watch TV, for example, and then we get so upset about how the world is messed up. If we pull our third chakra back in, and then we witness, what in particular hurt me when I watched this program? What in particular did I get triggered about? What am I learning by having this opinion versus that opinion? Why do I have this opinion instead of some other one? Now, that's all internal, right? We're still processing whatever we were interested in, but it's not anymore out there, so we're actually gaining energy, and we're plugged into the universal life force instead of losing energy by being plugged into a TV program.
So we've already been talking about what happens when the third chakra is imbalanced, when the front is imbalanced, which means it's weak, but it's clockwise, so it's still open clockwise, but it's weak. Then we have low self-esteem. We rely on the external world the way Eugenie was talking about.
For support.
And our personal identity won't be clear to us because it's going to be reliant on another person.
It's really hard to remain consistently unified when we're trying to give our power away. So when we have a weak third chakra on the front, it means that we become one person with these people and then another person with these people and then another person when we're by ourselves. And that discontinuity is not coherent. And so to be the same pretty much across the board, we have to have the third chakra owned and we have to know who we are. And that means when we don't like who we are, we still have to own it.
Yeah, otherwise we just end up mimicking the expectation of others of what we should be. And then we become what they, whoever they might be, want us to be. And then we feel powerless because we don't like that. But the only reason that occurred in the first place is because we projected our identity out there into the world, asking them, tell me who you want me to be, instead of saying, I want to be this. If I don't like what I am, I'm going to change it to something else. But I decide who I am.
Good.
There's always acceptance first, then change. When we don't like who we are and we want to be something else, we cannot change. But when we don't like who we are, but we accept that we are that, and then we study that and learn how to transform that, then we can make a different choice and change. But without a moment of self-acceptance, what Isabel was calling liking yourself, we can't get to the change. We just self-erase, and you can't erase and then become something else because there's nothing to become.
And when we don't like something about ourselves, there's a repulsion principle. It's actually a physics energy pattern that happens in the body. We literally push our consciousness out of our atoms. We repel the atoms that make up the toxic attitudes, beliefs, or behaviors, right? So we actually push them away, and they're the very thing that we need to keep in the third chakra. This is really like a crucible that burns away the negative and transmutes it into the positive. So if we don't accept it, we just gave our life force away. We give our fortune away. Now, if the third chakra on the front spins counterclockwise, and it's a really strong counterclockwise force, then we have people who are narcissists. They're selfish. If they're entitled.
Yeah, and they're obsessed with being noticed. Mm-hmm. Notice me, I'm important. Pay attention to me, I'm important. And they try to make the whole space sort of gravitate towards them
and they can,
by force.
They can do it in kind of an irresponsible, overly childish way, like a needy way, but there's a demand behind it, or they can do it like from an arrogant, tyrant way.
Yeah, for example, the childish way would be when somebody always asks to help. Oh, can you get this chair for me? Oh, can you do this? Can you do that? But it's not done because the person actually needs help, but because it's a way to get the attention of others. Or if somebody speaks very softly, and they speak so everybody has to go forward to say, what did you say? And they get attention. That's a more passive way. The aggressive is more like speaking loudly and shaking a person, getting too close to somebody to get them to, you know, pay attention, be really right there.
And there's been a lot of nausea since 2013 when Pi came in, changing the self codes through the identity structures. So the nausea, even if you've eaten something that you think is making you nauseous, you probably ate it to help the stomach and the third chakra clear out identity code issues. So a lot of times the third chakra will be running on the old program and the new one. Third chakra can't figure it out, and then the stomach gives up its contents.
Yeah, we get nauseous sometimes from physical means, but energy kind of nausea, that's because when the solar plexus has those two conflicting patterns, as Isabel just says, that's the chakra itself that has it, right? Then affects the energy through which it goes, the space in the physical body, is the nerve bundle, the solar plexus, which then affects the stomach that is right behind it. So then the stomach is what we perceive, but it's actually the energy hit of that push-pull that happens in the chakra that our nervous system is responding to, not the stomach physically.
So moving to the back, or third chakra, right behind the solar plexus on the back of the spine. When this chakra is clockwise but weak, then the person is very stubborn and they're very good at justifying the fact that they want to stay fragmented. It makes sense to them to stay fragmented, and they're very stubborn about it.
Yeah, that encourages drama and struggle because there's a demand that that fragmentation is the way to be. The person defends that position.
And if the chakra spins counterclockwise on the back, then the person comes up with behavior that they're not okay unless everybody's okay. So this is the fake peacemaker, that they have to make everybody okay in order to have personal okayness. And that's impossible, and it's way, way too much effort drained in the wrong direction.
Anytime we do that, we end up dependent on the needs of others and wishes of others. So then the third chakra on the back, it has the flow, but it's counterclockwise, and we are trying to make the world okay for us to be okay. But in reality, all we do is we're now dependent on the world okayness. And since the world can never be okay in the totality of it, we can never be okay.
Also, with the third chakra on the back, it can be the source for back pain, either low back pain or high back pain or middle back pain. Usually the source point for back pain comes through that third chakra on the back. So we're suppressing something. We're not wanting to unify. We're not wanting to become whole in relationship to the thing we're suppressing. So if we can figure out what it is and release it, then oftentimes the back can release its tension.
Yeah, all those concepts about hiding and then being found out, that typical fear about what if they found out I'm not really us, I don't know, something that I think I am, as pleasant or as confident or as nice or as smart or as loving, the projections, they are all projections. Because when we project to other, to outside world that we are pleasant or we are smart, we are whatever it is we think we're supposed to be for them, then there's always the counter force for that on the inside that says, what if they find out I'm not really that? So now we're spending energy, kind of like spinning the wheels on the inside, on pushing out and protecting, pushing out and hiding. And that is the pattern where a lot of exhaustion comes from and the back pain.
So as we recover and waken from duality, from within duality, and we don't get pushed and pulled by the pairs of opposites, then we're smart and stupid. We're kind and mean. We're energized, we're exhausted, we're confident, we're worthless. We're, you know, the whole spectrum between all the opposites closes, we close the gap. When we unify them in the third chakra on the back, then the new identity comes forward and we are what we are.
Yeah, and we stop projecting into the world what we think the world needs to see us as or what we believe we're supposed to be. And instead, we just are whatever we are.
So for the activation portion, if we have simple, clear thoughts, like I'm thinking about the weekend and mowing my lawn.
Or I'm thinking of yellow.
Yeah. If you have a simple, clear thought, that energy will attract yellow, which is clarity, into the third chakra. And the time of noon is the time of day that best represents the energy of the solar plexus. The solar plexus is often called the inner sun.
I just want to say one thing about the clear thought. Because what's showing up here is very interesting. The thing like, I'm thinking of the weekend, and oh, and I need to make sure that this happens, and I, oh, and don't forget that, that's not clear thought. That's already a branching out that just grew this enormous tree, and none of that had to do with anything with a clear thought. Clear thought is a directional A to B straight line from one point to another. So I'm thinking of sitting on the chair, and I'm very much sitting on the chair. Okay, that's a clear thought. I'm thinking of walking through that door, even if I'm not walking through the door, but my thought about the door, that's a clear thought. So if we're in the turmoil or confusion, which is actually defense against having clarity.
You can think the thought that you know your name. That's a clear thought.
Not for some people.
Hopefully, you remember.
Yes. Well, but is it my soul name? Is it my real name? Should I be called that?
Clear thought, clear thought.
And when we're in confusion, that means we're in avoidance of clarity, which means our child doesn't want us to see the truth of something. So thinking clear thoughts will bring us back to activation of the third chakra, so then we can have clarity on whatever it is that we did not want to see.
Noon, time of day, are best for third chakra consciousness. Summer weather patterns, because they're connected to the fire element. Also eating yellow-colored foods and hot and spicy flavors. And if you want to give the third chakra physical stimulation, you can do plank pose. It's like a push-up, but you don't push up. If you're going to use sound, either electric guitar or piano, if you like it.
Good. Now on to the changes in connection with Pi. We have already talked a lot about how Pi is all about the power of self, right? It's that individuation energy, the personal uniqueness. So the third chakra definitely holds that pattern, but now in a different way. There's a component of the self-exploration that is attached to identity.
And the self-exploration requires a certain amount of risk, and not radical risk or irresponsible risk, but thoughtful risk and continued risk. Because if we're ever going to grow, it takes a risk to grow and change. We then see what happens. If we like it, great. Then we absorb it into our new identity. And then there's kind of a plateau time where there's an acclimation. There's a time of acclimation of new identity, and then we risk again, and then acclimation kind of plateau becomes part of the new identity. Then we risk again.
Which means that during this time of Pi on the planet, which is our lives and on, we have to get comfortable with uncomfortable. The identity...
I was thinking about when people would lie on the beds of nails and whip themselves and starve. I mean, they were really taking this comfortable with uncomfortable to the limit.
So, yeah. Not that kind of risk we're talking about.
But with the relative discomfort that we feel. Yeah.
Yeah, the identity used to be, in perception, much more rigid than now. This is one of the gifts that Pi has brought in, which might make people feel a little bit insane at first, because the identity is actually a changeable thing. It is not like I am this and it's cemented from now on and forever I am going to be that. It's whatever I am now, but I'm also this. You know, I'm confused and I have knowledge. I'm wise and I'm terrified. All those things at the same time comprise who we are. And they're moving about within us. If we stay curious, that's the self-investigation, then we're able to put it into some sort of a congruent picture for ourselves. That out of that totality comes in some sort of a definition of who we are, which is always evolving. When with Gaia, it used to be much more of an ego identity, like a definition. I am a mother, or I am the teacher, or I am the... It was much more rigid, pigeonholed kind of a concept that didn't change through the whole life sometimes of a person.
So when you find yourself doing something radically different, like maybe you used to go out a lot, now you stay in a lot, or you used to always... like going to movies with people, now you want to go by yourself. You know, those are practice identity changes, and if there's no need to try to solidify anything, then you can really rotate kind of like through a buffet of options and to see what's going to end up fitting. It's like being tailored for a garment or something. You go for multiple fittings. So if we try to say, no, I have to know who I am too rigidly, too quickly, then we X out the potential for more.
That's the part about being comfortable with uncomfortable, because it can be very uncomfortable to be in the middle of this temporal flux before we land on something that is the garment we can actually wear for the next month or year. And then it changes again. So every time that flux happens, that phase might be very uncomfortable. And for people who are on the spiritual path, it's possible to deal with that discomfort with pleasure. Kind of like, I know I'm in the past and I'm excited and I'm in pleasure about becoming more of myself. But that also means for people who are not on the spiritual consciousness path, that might feel very like going crazy. So that creates a lot of struggle as people trying to be okay with not knowing who they are.
And just one more part to this. As we go through identity changes, the body can often lose weight, gain weight, mm-hmm. do physical things that are out of sync with what we normally would recognize as ourselves. So if we know that we're evolving and that this is part of the retailoring, then they'll mellow out and they'll come to a point of new identity that we can actually own. So try not to own it and pre-own it before it's actually evolved. The self is under construction, so it has to finish the self-construction before we then have the party.
And construction has phases. So you can be under construction for a year and then maybe have next couple of years when you feel very secure and you know who you are and everything is, you know, your life has changed. All the circumstances are completely different. Friends, different locations. Maybe you moved, maybe you divorced, maybe you got married. Everything changed. And then 2 years after, you suddenly have to go through a whole other transformation that changes everything all again. That doesn't mean that the previous change was incorrect. It just means that it's a process. And that is going to be happening with Pi, so watch for your desire to solidify too quickly, because when we don't do that, we actually have a better ride.
And also watch out for the desire to overcompare. You can notice, you know, but if you're going through something and nobody else is, you're not doing it wrong. It's just your timing. Okay, now we're going to go into the experiential. So when you tune in to your third chakras, front and back, notice what is. Be the observer.
So tune into your solar plexus on the front and on the back. Notice that what's happening in the front and what's happening in the back. Notice where you have energy habitually. What's your habitual pattern? This is just witnessing. Is there more on the front? Is there more on the back? Is there flow? Is there clugginess? Constriction? Just witness.
As you are witnessing, you can notice what's in the way of feeling more powerful. Is it your body image, or is it the failure to manifest something? What is it that makes self-rejection happen?
Notice the internal judge. Internal complainer. Look for where that voice comes from, which chakra, front of the solar plexus chakra or the back. The part of us that wants to judge, that wants to complain, that wants to make somebody else wrong. We all have that pattern one way or another. Study that. Notice if your body begins to lean too far to the right or to the left. As soon as you started to tune into your inner judge, a lot of you got shifted sideways. That's a clue about how your energy system tends to be habitually when you're in a negative pattern. Knowing that always helps us to realign. If you're having a hard time focusing on your solar plexus, go down to the root so you can focus in, ground, and then come back with your awareness to the solar plexus front and back. Check out why you might have a hard time being okay with who you are. Which parts of you have ease being, and which parts of you have difficulty being.
these bodies that we're in right now, in this lifetime for each of us, we have the greatest chance of taking these bodies all the way home, becoming enlightened, and not having to reincarnate. So if we can accept everything that these bodies, that we experience through these bodies, we can take these bodies home. Don't have to have another one. This will be good enough.
And if that does not happen, there's still the highest capacity that's available, because this is the time of planetary change. So all of us being incarnated on Earth during the time of change between Gaia and Pi allows the highest amount of transformation within each individual if effort is applied.
Good job releasing and intaking. Letting out the old and bringing in the new. So on the structural side of consciousness, tune into the attitude of self-respect and use the intent of personal authority.
And on your fluid levels, the feeling of clarity and the intuition of value of self. So the attitude of self-respect, the intent of personal authority, the feeling of clarity, and the intuition of value of self. As you're holding those, you might be noticing that Pi upgrade is beginning to happen, so your solar plexus chakra on the front and on the back starting to spin a little faster. That's a different level of clarity that has to do with that transitionary identity, being okay with the self being moldable as we're becoming more enlightened.
This allows all the parts of us to play on the same team and really reduces the amount of inner conflict.
That means the inner child is well parented instead of left to throw tantrums or abandoned. This is raising our inner authority to that higher self part of us, witnessing all the other aspects of who we are, which we might like or not, which are in transformation.
Okay, individually, as you're ready, if you want to stay in a bit longer, stay in. If you want to come out, come out. Boy, everybody got that one really well. Deep. Good. And there was a lot of genetic clearing with people, and a bunch of people were also clearing dismissal patterns, either because, like, we would be dismissive of others or self, and also being dismissed.
So as you come out, notice how your solar plexus chakra front and the back, the middle of your back, changed. Again, if that helps to stand up, to feel the energy flow differently, really notice you can encode the sense of inner authority in a different way. All right, now the write down component of this that we set for the experiential for you guys.
So on the structural side,
For the attitude component, we have self-respect. And for the intent component, we have personal authority. For the fluid side, we have, for the feeling component, we have clarity. And for the intuition, we have value of self. Okay, so we're going to go to lunch a little bit early.
Yeah, because we don't want to stop.
We can't do half a chakra. Yeah. We can't do half the heart. But it's really interesting to watch what's happening with these lower three. So the other ones, at this point, the prediction is they're going to go more smoothly. Yeah, so we can go deeper and more smoothly in the upper because the basic foundation is really pretty good.